announcements. You did great.
No experience. All right. Good morning, everybody. My name is, I know everybody practically here. So we don't have to do it. We could do the normal thing. But anyway, my name is Jesse. Good morning. And who's ready to rock and roll? Tiffany's ready to go. Jason, you should just stop. No, if you could tell, this morning looks a little different, right, with the tables and such. I just love church. And I love, as Robin was saying, we're doing things a little differently with children's ministry and the way that that service is going to look like. And for me, I love kind of doing church this way. This is a good way. And we've been going through this series called Why Church? Boom. And we've heard a lot of interesting, really good perspectives over the last several weeks about what that means for us both individually and both for us corporately here at Northgate Community Church. And I do have a special guest here, Mr. Green Stegosaurus, to be helping me out this morning. But the overall goal for this morning is for me to say as little as possible. Amen. Yeah, that's right. Amen. Let's say as little as possible. I have like almost no notes here for good reason. Because what we're going to be doing today is, if you've ever been a part of any of our brew pub experiences, that to me is one of my favorite expressions of church. And the reason why I love that so much is because you don't just get my perspective or the person speaking's perspective. We get to hear the experience and stories of those sitting around the table. And what I think that we're going to discover in this short little pub talk here is that the church is built perfectly for this type of environment. So let's just jump right into it. Number one, first slide. I've struggled with the church in general. I'm a child, as I've heard it from my one of my favorite musicians, David Bazan, that I am a child of evangelicalism, that I have been in the church my entire life. And in fact, I love telling the story. I remember when I was really young and we were going to another church in town growing up, and I asked my mom and dad if there was ever a vacation from church. Because just like I would get summer break for school, I would also was like, well, do we get like a 2-month break from going to church? And as a good parent, they said, no, you got to go to church every Sunday. But in my 30s, I'm exiting my 30s, still got a few more years, but starting in age 30, I really have, in quite the millennial way, deconstructed everything that I believed in and have believed in, and it's been quite the journey, so much so that I even decided, again, to start a church in my early 30s. And that was an interesting and good experience. Some good things came from there. But if I was really being honest with myself, one of the reasons why I decided to go down that path was because of rebellion. I was starting a church because I struggled with the church. And so for me, I had to kind of ask this question, what has the church become? That should be a question mark. That's okay. What has the church become? How have we gotten to this point in church history? And one of my favorite new podcasts that I've been listening to lately is The Rise and Fall of Mars Hill. If you haven't caught on that bandwagon yet, you definitely want to. But one of the most interesting episodes that was on there was this episode of how we actually got to the way church is today. And it's through the rise of like these mega church personalities, which I think is really, really interesting. Like how we get to this structure is really a new thing, right? Because before that, we were all rural, living in like countrysides, and then things like automobiles, things like radio and television started becoming the new form of communication. And so now all of a sudden you can get millions and millions of people seeing the same and experiencing the same thing, which all isn't bad, but it kind of just like, again, I wrestle with that in my spirit a lot. I wrestle a lot with the mode and how we do church. Jason had a really slick slide last week. I don't know if I've loved a slide like more than I love this slide right now. And We can see here there's a whole timeline in a generality, of course, but the overarching story that is happening and have got to this point today, how this church has been here for 101 years. Like, part of this timeline, right? And we get to be part of this future part, right? We're going to read here in Acts chapter 2 what we're going to be able to answer this question, why church? And I think it's pretty neat. But again, we could see here that today, Manteca, California, we get to do all of these things right here, and we get to do this future thing. Things like children's ministry, for instance. Sunday morning children's ministry. What does that look like? To contextualize children's ministry on a Sunday morning in the year 2021, post-pandemic, right? We could put all the cards on the table and get to decide what that looks like. One of my favorite guys on the entire planet asks one of these questions and makes the statement, we should be focused on the why, not our what. The why and not our what. He goes on to say, people don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it, and what you do simply proves what you believe. That's Simon Sinek. Now, he comes from a very businessy point of view, but if you look at the overarching narrative of the church, this kind of looks, kind of mimics that a little bit, right? If we were to see all across the nation, we see that we focus a lot on the what of the church, and not necessarily the why of the church. That's why there's programs. Again, none of this is bad, but sometimes for me, when I think about all these things and I wrestle with my spirit as to why church and why I get all these hang-ups, it's because, do I actually know why I go to church? What is the why? And I wrestle with that a lot, and I still do. Now, I've come a long way since my early 30s. I've been able to discover some of these whys. But still, it's a question that begs to be answered. So, why does the church exist? And if you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to go and open it up to Acts chapter 2, verses 42. And I'm going to be reading out of the CSB, Christian Standard Bible here. So what we see here is, like, that was before all this, to give us a little bit of context. You know, the day of Pentecost happens, right? The Holy Spirit descends on his people, right? And people think they were, like, drunk and stuff like that, but no, it was really the Holy Spirit working in a new way with a set of people that he has been chosen by them. We see that Peter preaches. And let's go ahead and read that. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 all the way through the end here. And it reads, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. Now all the believers were together and held all things in common. They sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all as they had need. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple and broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Now if we were to look at that chart again or look at the what, why, there's a lot of what's happening here. But I think, and what we're going to talk about around these tables is, what was their why? And as I read this, they were a part of a community that loved and cared for each other. There was a support system. There was a camaraderie. There was a, something happens in the middle of the night, and there's people there to help, right? One of the beautiful things I love about the story is that they were like normal people, right? They weren't high class. They weren't low class. They were just people. Some people, they were fishermen, there was, again, you had to have smart people to in these groups. There was people who are tax collectors and such. But that's the beauty behind this community, is that everybody is welcome to the table. And for me, as I read this, because we use the word community a lot, it's even in our name here at the church, Northgate Community Church. When I read this, this was like the purest form of community. This is like hot off the presses. This is what Jesus was talking about while he was doing his earthly ministry. It was a community that supported each other. And that was, you know, one of the things I love about this community is because we are a community that is really embedded with those who are outside these four walls, those who are in our neighbors. We were just recently able to help a kid out of a kid's hospital to be able to get them the right car seat. There was a call that went out. Boom, we were able to provide some fun kid home. There's other situations that pop up that no matter where we go, no matter what happens, there's always folks that we could call and rely on. The 3 o'clock in the morning calls, the midnight calls. Shoot, we like to have dinner together. That's one of like the big things that we like doing. We like lounging. Again, when I read Acts chapter 2, when I read these sections here, they loved gathering. I mean, I'll tell you what, every time I go to Jason's house, Jason always has a question. He's like, a big, deep, philosophical question. And we wrestle with it. You know, we talk about this type of stuff all the time. What is church? What's our experiences like? Where do we see the church going in a post-pandemic world? What does that look like? How do we get more people involved? How do we help people find their passions? So we can see that there's their why there. We can begin to identify the reasons why they gather. And so, now it's your turn. There should be pieces of paper on your table there. I'm going to go through them real quick. And we're going to take 20-ish minutes, 25-ish minutes, and we're just going to begin to walk through these questions. Tell us a story about how you got connected with this church or church you're connected with. How has that connection nurtured your walk with Jesus? When you read Acts 2:42, what are your observations? What are their whys? What do you see their whys? Because this is the beautiful thing about this idea of communal interpretation, the way that the Spirit kind of involves itself into our lives, is it speaks to us differently. These texts we see with different lenses, each and every one of us. So it's important. We don't get the full picture when it's just one person. We get the full picture when we read it together. Lastly, what is your why for church? What is your why for church? And if you blast through those four questions, we have bonus questions. What does Sabbath look like to you? And if you could sit for hours, where would it be? So everybody's kind of distributed very well. And then what we're going to do in about 25 minutes, I'm going to come back up here. And what I would like is you would appoint, if you've ever been to Brewpub, this is one of my favorite parts. You appoint one person to come up here and give us the one takeaway. It could be either off the questions, it could be something that the Holy Spirit's, Lisa's already like, I'm already going up. No. But you appoint one person to say, okay, what was the collective group takeaway? Or what was your own experience that sparked from these questions? And then we'll ask somebody to pray, and then we'll be ready to rock and roll. We can be the church. All right, so 3, 2, 1, go.